Okay. But Rosa and I would especially like to thank you, the APHA Vision Care Section, for your generous and unexpected Best Abstract Award. We are deeply honored by this. And we very much appreciate receiving this recognition from you, our colleagues in public health. And it means a lot to both of us, so we thank you very much. Today I'm going to use descriptive statistics to characterize the health, healthcare experiences, and the impact on children with special health care needs who have uncorrected visual impairment. These children are a subset of the general pediatric population. And in terms of the definition that I'll apply this to, children with uncorrected visual impairment are defined as those who have difficulty seeing for any reasons, whether or not they wear glasses or contact lenses. So to enhance the clarity of this presentation, instead of saying children with special health care needs, most likely I will use the word children throughout, but the slides will say CSHCN, which is the acronym for children with special health care needs. And I may also use words like parent instead of parent, guardian, respondent for the survey itself. I have nothing to disclose. In terms of the background, first I'm going to start with a very brief overview of vision status in children, and I'll reiterate the purpose of this presentation. Then I'll define the term children with special health care needs and describe who these children are. I'll also describe the design and key features of the data source, the 2005-2006 National Survey of Children with Special Health Care Needs. I'll explain what is meant by vision status and uncorrected visual impairment for the purposes of this presentation that we derived from the survey data. I'll describe which groups of children I'll be comparing today. I'll explain key measurement variables and then tell you how we analyze the data. I'll describe selected results, limitations and strengths of our research, and then I'll summarize core primary take-home messages. Oops. So, among about 4.8 million children under the age of 18 years in the U.S. have a diagnosed eye and vision condition. Some of these conditions can potentially be treated if given before damage is irreversible. And if treatment is successful, the total amount of time that these children may experience vision impairment could be significantly reduced over their life course. CDC's Vision Health Initiative notes that, quote, the most prevalent disabling childhood conditions are vision disorders. And there are several listed there. These and other eye and vision problems can potentially cause significant limitations for children and impact both the child and their family. And in terms of prevalence, some of these are more highly prevalent, as I'll mention in just a moment. Some of these childhood vision problems are of low prevalence, but they still have major impacts for the children and their families, or I should say potential impact for the children and their families. So we know that among school-aged children, 6 to 18 years old, about 1 in 4 wear corrective lenses. Kemper and colleagues have proposed that the use of, quote, the use of corrective lenses suggests that correctable vision impairment is the most common treatable chronic disease in childhood, end quote. And according to two studies that examined 6 years of National Health Interview Survey data, an estimated 1.7 million or 2.3% of non-institutionalized children aged 2 to 17 years had problems seeing even when they were wearing glasses or contact lenses, and 2.9% for school-aged children aged 5 to 17 years old. Just over 59,000 children aged 0 to 21 years old are legally blind. So the purpose of my presentation today is to use baseline descriptive statistics to describe the health and healthcare experiences of these children, and again, the impact that this uncorrected vision has on their families, and regardless of the reason of why they have vision impact, or uncorrected vision rather, and who may or may not wear contact lenses at the time of the telephone interview. So again, to study this issue, we use data from the 2005-2006 National Survey of Children with Special Health Care Needs. The goal of this periodic survey is to produce national and state-level estimates of the prevalence and impact of special health care needs in children. But this raises the question of, you know, who are children with special health care needs? So children with special health care needs are those who, quote, Children who have or are at risk for a health condition that lasts or has lasted 12 months or more with one or both of the following consequences, which I'll let you read. As you can notice, the words at risk for are crossed out because currently we're working on a methodology to actually measure risk for having special health care needs in children. This definition was promulgated by the Health Resources and Services Administration's Maternal and Child Health Bureau, or MCHB, who also funded this study. It is purposely broad and inclusive, and it uses a non-categorical approach to examine characteristics and consequences that many children have across diagnoses. Due to the Bureau and agency mission, MCHB has a very high need for detailed comparable data on children with special health care needs. And in 2005-2006, the prevalence of special health care needs in the U.S., the child level prevalence of children with special health care needs in the United States was 13.9%, which is about 10.2 million children. These children require not only health services that are due to their health conditions, but they have other needs, such as social services, mental health services, educational services, family services, or perhaps their families need respite care as well. They were identified using the brief CSHCN screener, and we know relatively little about the vision impairment status of these children, as well as the functional impacts. So Rosa and I hypothesized that these children with uncorrected vision, when compared to children with special health care needs who have corrected vision, would have differential and dissimilar functional limitations and difficulties, morbidity, and impact on their daily activities. So to study this question, To study this question, we used three vision questions. So the first one was, without seeing glasses or contact lenses, would you say that he or she experiences any difficulty seeing? If the answer was yes, and again, this was a parent or guardian who was responding, then they were asked, does the child wear glasses or contact lenses? If the parent response was yes to that, then we asked, does the child have any difficulty seeing even when wearing glasses or contact lenses? And these questions have been used in surveys for adults and other venues as well, so they should be fairly familiar. So we studied if you look in the middle row, does the child wear glasses or contact lenses? You'll see an N of 1,277 cases. So if the child did not wear glasses or contact lenses, but they did have difficulty seeing even when wearing glasses or contact lenses, so in the two groups in the red, those are the CSHCN with uncorrected vision. And we compared them to the CSHCN in the green notation at the bottom, 8,775 CSHCN who had difficulty seeing, whose vision was corrected, rather. So again, we're comparing, if you add up the two red groups, we're comparing that group to the group noted in green. Response options of refused or don't know were coded to missing, and they're not shown. So again, this is just another way to conceptualize these children. Because you take the large group of pediatric group in the U.S., so children 0 to 17 years of age, and you can split them into all children with special health care needs versus what are called typically developing youth. And then, again, just to reiterate, for the children with special health care needs, we're comparing these two groups in green, the corrected vision with glasses or contact lenses, or those children experienced uncorrected vision for any reason. The data source is a population-based random digit dial sampling frame, and we first identified households with one or more children less than 18 years of age. We identified an appropriate adult parent guardian respondent, and that was the person who knows about the health and healthcare characteristics of the children in the household. Then we screened all the children in the household for special health care needs. If one or more children in the household were screened in as a child with special health care needs, we randomly selected one of those children. If there was just one CSHC unidentified, then that child was the target of the detailed interview. So we conducted detailed interviews for just over 40,000 children with special health care needs, with a target of about 750 per state, as well as the District of Columbia. And the survey funder was, as I mentioned, HRSA, Maternal and Child Health Bureau, and the survey was conducted through CDC's National Center for Health Statistics. Oh, sorry. The weights represent the non-institutionalized population of children with special health care needs who are 0 to 17 years of age. And we use SAS and Sudan to account for the complex sampling design. And the complex sampling design would be due to the stratification and clustering width of a sample. We used statistical comparisons of children with special health care needs with corrected vision to those who had uncorrected vision, and they were assessed at the 0.05 level. Unstable point estimates with a relative standard error higher than 0.3% do not meet the NCHS standards for reliability and are not reported. Here's a list of our analytic variables. We started by looking at socioeconomic variables, which are listed in the top half of the slide. So we had six of those in our analyses. We also included two items to measure the impact on the child. One looked at whether the child missed 11 or more school days due to illness, and the other variable examined the impact of the child's condition on their daily activities and functional abilities. This was a derived variable that combined both frequency and intensity measures. We included information on functional limitations, which were then further categorized into three broad categories of functional difficulties. And as you can see on the slide, some of these were only asked of certain groups of children with special health care needs. For instance, speaking, communicating, or being understood. If you have a six-month-old infant, you may not know if they're just making some noises, you may not know if that's just utterances or if they're really trying to communicate with you or speak words. So again, some of these were age specific. And then we also asked a long list of chronic conditions, and it was phrased as, to the best of your knowledge, does the child currently have the disease that or the chronic conditions that are listed? So the conditions that are in bold will be shown on the graph, because the difference between the two comparison group point estimates were statistically significant. Conditions in the regular non-bold font will not be shown, because either the difference between the non-bolded point estimates was not statistically significant, or the estimates themselves were unstable and we are not reporting them. We also examined a slew of healthcare access and service use characteristics. And this slide shows eight selected variables we examined, which serve as key performance measures used to assess the development of community-based service systems of care for these children. The first bullet refers to family-centered care. As defined, these children need more than one health, medical, or other type of service to begin with. So this derived variable examined if the service of systems that these children used were organized and delivered to meet the child's needs, and that the family's priorities were included and integrated into the service system. The second bullet, medical home, refers to the provision of care that is family-centered, ongoing, comprehensive, and coordinated across childhood and beyond. And this is a composite derived variable that examined key aspects of the healthcare system, and selected examples include healthcare interactions and relationships, problems, did the child have problems getting needed referrals, if the child had a usual source of care for sick care as well as well care, et cetera. The third bullet examined community-based services. And were these community-based services integrated and organized in a way that it was easy for the family of the children to actually access and use? For adolescents with special health care needs, we wanted to know if the physician who treated them as children helped to facilitate the transition of this child as they get older to transition to healthcare providers who only treat adults. So that would be transition-based services. And that was only asked for youth who were 12 to 17 years of age. The fifth bullet was any care delayed, or foregone for the child in the past year for any reason. We also asked about insurance coverage, whether the child was uninsured at any point during the past year of the date of the telephone interview, as well as the type of insurance and the adequacy of the insurance that it would, did it pay for needed services that the CSHCN needed? And did it allow him or her to see the needed providers that they, you know, not just the pediatrician, but if they needed to see a specialist, did it provide for that? So now that I've described the variables and analyses, let's look at some results. So this pie chart shows you the percentage and number of CSHCN who have uncorrected vision in the United States. And it's at 7%, and it's just over 700,000 children with special health care needs have uncorrected vision, again, whether they wear glasses or not. And it's also for any reason. About 21% of CSHCN have corrected vision when wearing glasses or contacts. And the vast majority of CSHCN, or 72%, don't have any problem seeing reportedly without glasses or contacts. Compared to other CSHCN, the children who have uncorrected vision problems we found were more likely to live in the poorest educated households, to be of racial or ethnic minority status, to live in the poorest households, or to live in households that were led by a single mother with no father present. And they were less likely to live in a household that predominantly spoke English, and they were less likely to be of very young age, so 0 to 5 years of age. So just to summarize, these children tended to live in resource-poor households. Now that I've described who these children are, let's explore the impact of the child by vision status group. Children with uncorrected vision were significantly more likely to be impacted by their conditions. Their daily activities were consistently and often greatly affected compared to those children who had corrected vision. They were also significantly more likely to miss 11 or more days of school due to illness. Now that I've talked about who these children are and how they're impacted, I'll transition to discuss their condition and functional limitations. This chart shows the mean number of parent-reported conditions and functional limitations by child's vision status. The range of possible conditions was 0 to 16, and the range of functional limitations was 0 to 13. Since the vision or difficulty seeing variable was asked as a functional limitation and not as a condition, we excluded it from the denominator of total functional limitations to calculate these group means. Therefore, these children with uncorrected vision were more likely to experience significant functional limitations and slightly more likely to have, on average, the most conditions. Children with daily vision impairments were significantly more likely than those with corrected vision to experience heart problems, blood problems, emotional problems including depression, anxiety, an eating disorder, or other emotional problems. Children with daily vision impairment were less likely to have asthma. Children with uncorrected vision were significantly more likely to reportedly have developmental disabilities than those with corrected vision. And those with uncorrected vision were more likely to have cerebral palsy, autism, Down syndrome, and intellectual disability. These children with uncorrected vision were also significantly more likely to report having joint problems, migraines or frequent headaches, and epilepsy and seizure disorders, which makes sense when you think about the etiology of some of these conditions. In terms of functional limitations, recall that there were a whole list of about 17 or 18, and we categorized them into larger groups of functional difficulties. So compared to children with corrected vision, those with uncorrected vision were more likely to report having any emotional or behavioral difficulty, any activity or participation difficulty, and any bodily or functional difficulty except for vision. In terms of key performance measures for the healthcare system, the healthcare milieu for children with uncorrected vision was significantly worse than for children with corrected vision. And I'm running out of time, so I'll just, basically the children with uncorrected vision scored lower in areas where we would certainly want them to have higher point estimates, even below the 50% mark. And so there's a lot of room for improvement there. And these children were also significantly less likely to reportedly have received transition services, and they were significantly more likely to have delayed or foregone care for any reason over the past 12 months prior to the interview. Finally, these children with uncorrected vision were significantly less likely to be covered by adequate insurance to pay for their needed services, and they were more likely to be covered by public insurance as well as be without insurance at some point during the year prior to the interview. These are parent guardian reported data that are based on three vision questions, so we can only take this analysis so far. We'd certainly love to do more, but we're limited. And these are cross-sectional data, so they cannot be used to determine causation. These findings are limited to children with special health care needs, and we did not verify any of this data with school or medical record checks. Again, although we would love to, but we don't have the capacity to do that. In terms of strengths, this is a large periodic population-based survey, and it's the largest one to date of this population. The survey was designed to produce state and national estimates, and we also noted low response bias for selected estimates. So in terms of conclusions, about 7% of these children have uncorrected vision. These children tend to live in resource-poor environments, both in terms of socioeconomics and health insurance indicators. And they also face more obstacles when compared to children with corrected vision. They miss more days of school due to illness, and they also experience a higher degree of functional limitation and difficulties that significantly impact their day-to-day lives. So I'm going to pause, and I'm just going to have a brief advertisement because the National Center for Health Statistics in 2012 will be having our national conference on health statistics in August, and they've asked us to put this on our slides and advertise it. Thank you.